we can, this coming at night, still I like it. I like it a lot. Coming at night doing all this. Sometimes we think that the work of the Lord, the work of the Lord is only when it's convenient for me. You know, young men, when, as the Lord will use you in the future, you know, he might bring you into the work of giving you a gift of shepherding. You know that such a gift is a morning and night gift? So what I want to tell you is the Lord will use you at any given time. And for us to be willing, you know what, who said, did something at night too? Who can think in the New Testament somebody did something at night or came to the Lord at night? Nicodemus. Does it say that he came at night from the fear of the Jews? Does it say that? It does say that. He just came to him at night. He was a ruler of the Jew. He came to him at night. I have heard it a lot that people will go and Nicodemus because he was ashamed. Yeah, well, that's one. You can think about it this way. But I want you to think this at night, that Nicodemus knew that the Lord Jesus is available 24/7. He came at night, he knew he's available at night. He came at day, he knew the Lord Jesus. Listen, the Lord will use you to do his work regardless of time. We have to be willing to bring 10 men. You know what, Bruce, this is something special in the Bible, that you had individuals who were able to make their exercise before the Lord a collective one. That's a special gift. Not everyone can do it. Gideon was one of them. David was one of them. Daniel was one of them. To be able to rub on each other. And now you've been together. So many of you play basketball together. And so many of you I beat in basketball. And so many of you, they have lost and they're going to do something for me because I beat them in basketball. Oh, did I say it already? Beat? Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to keep repeating. But the reality of it is, now I want you to think of something else. Is how to be able to rub on each other for spiritual matters. Not only you guys are having fun collectively in a sport or something, and do that. Please do that. Do that. Do it with the believers. But now with Gideon, with Daniel, with David, with Abraham, when he wanted to restore his own nephew, he had the 316 trained men. He was able to rub on them spiritual interest to do things for Christ. And I'm going to encourage you, out of such a week, coming together, young brothers and young sisters, to start learning to how somebody sharpen iron sharpens iron. To start sharpening one another for the things of Christ. Just as Gideon, the thought you brought was very beautiful. Just as Gideon, he says, well, that was my exercise. You guys stay behind. The Lord asked me. No, no, it's never like this in spiritual matters. In spiritual matters, we have the welfare of the brethren. And we want to bring them along with us. And may the Lord help us from such a young age to start encouraging one another to do things collectively for the honor and for the glory of the Lord Jesus.
I think it's nice, again, as we move on, we've got about 10 minutes, maybe. Oh, we probably could have 15. Okay, we probably could have 15. That we come to the third area that is affected. Now, we remember there were the 10 servants that he went out. There was the challenge. Literally, he laid his life down. This is what Gideon did. He laid his life down for the Lord in what he was going to do. We saw his father was immediately one that was, in fact, very much affected. But look at what happens here in verse 32. Therefore, on that day, he called him Jerubbaal, or however you pronounce that. Let Baal plead against him because he has thrown down his altar. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of of the East were gathered together. Brothers and sisters, they heard about what happened. They knew that God had raised up a man, that he had brought a man into prominence that was going to speak against them and their principles. They rose up, they gathered together, they went over, and they pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Number one, he blew a trumpet. He blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. He sent messengers throughout all Manasseh. Where did all this begin? Where did this activity begin? We see again the altar, the ordered place, a man that obeyed what God gave him to do. And the Lord says, listen, if you will obey my voice, you may go many places. Stephen went all the way into a desert for one man returning from Ethiopia. You see, he sent messengers throughout Manasseh who were gathered after him. He sent messengers unto Asher, Zebulun, Naphtali. They came up to meet him, and Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. Now I'm going to get a little picture of what we are. We are those. I don't know whether Satan was working against him here. He probably was. But Gideon, like you and I, needed the reassurance. Remember again, he did not have the Spirit of God indwelling him as we do. He did not have a nice leather-bound book with pages in it that he could turn to. Okay? He didn't have those great advantages that we have as Christians today. But he approaches the Lord and he said, Lord, one more time, I need just to be really sure that this is the direction in which you're leading me. Do you ever find you have those times in your life? Believe that we all would acknowledge. And it's a wonderful thing. It's not a bad thing. This is not a negative thing when we come to the fleece.
Just to say briefly, we've had before us the presence of the Lord, and we started with the Word of God. And if we want to know, as you say, Chuck, we've come to those intersections and we don't know which way to go, I would just say there is no substitute for the presence of the Lord and the Word of God, for what Gideon did. There's no substitute for it. If we want to be clear on the Lord's leading in our life, we must take this place.
Think of Moses, who said to God, if you will not go up with us, we will not go up. And so there are times in our lives that the challenge that is before us is so great, and we feel so insignificant, rightly so, that we seek confirmation of the Lord. And I think as adults, we will tell you openly that we have had these experiences, and we have asked the Lord in prayer to show me from your word that you are in this, and I should go forward, and I should move to this place, or take that job, or take this wife, or take this husband, or make this decision about a medical matter. And the Lord, in grace, he comes in because he knows our frame, right? And it's wonderful to be able to go forward in the confidence that God is with you. And I think this is where Gideon is. He has been someone in private. There's the greatly impoverished people. And now he recognizes that God is doing a great work. I think it was a great confirmation to see that his movement affected his own father. Taking a stand for God will affect those that are around us, even family members. But now it is to directly go up against the enemy. And there needs now to be, I believe, a very special confirmation from God. And it's interesting that, you know, I think I've heard this from older saints, and I have appreciated this, that it is a wonderful thing to prove God. Right? To say, Lord, is this what you want me to do? And when God has, and you ask him to come in and show you, and God has acted in a marvelous way, it is how our faith is increased, that when there's a greater challenge than the one that was before you last year, that you now have an increased faith and confidence that the same God who took me through that other issue is able to take me through this. And I believe that Gideon is looking for that. For he says, I'll put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside it, then I shall know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. You know, God is divine. He is the sole God. Baal is a dead God. Gideon is speaking to the true and living God. You ask me, how could this be possible? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put a fleece of wool, and the dew that falls, if it's on the fleece only, because you know the dew that normally fell from the time in the garden would fall on everything, right? But he's saying, you are the God of the dew. And if you want to show me that you are in this movement, I want that fleece to have the dew on it and nowhere else. Just imagine God hearing that from a servant. And God say, listen, I'm in this, huh? And God being able to do this.